Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hey, what's up? Hour number two, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, hanging around with you as we are getting more frequently doing here. Sal Capaccio down at minicamp. And as always, this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I teased something going into the break that I really wanted to bring up about James Cook that kind of makes me feel a little encouraged, so to say, about the whole scenario. You got to remember, the thing I was dreading more was having to talk about this because I always thought that this was a non-story. Which leads me into this new point about James Cook. Is there any better way for a player to have gone into a negotiation sort of thing publicly, with the public eye, I should say, than what James Cook is doing? Which is, quite simply, I would like a raise because I'm good at my job, but not disparaging the team for not getting it done. I don't know if there's a better way for this to be going, to be shaking out right now in terms of this season standalone. When it comes to next year, the contract being up, do they re-up him? What kind of price? If not, what's he getting free agency? All that is not in my focus. I am talking about this offseason. And now into this part of it, is there a better way? And there's only one answer to yes, if he's a full participant in minicamp.
I agree. I like the way you word it, too, because it's in a negotiation.
Yes.
Because there have been players that just got extensions and we never heard from them at all.
Yeah.
This offseason for the Bills. But we did know, and that's fine, James Cook and the Bills are still in a negotiation.
Yeah.
But ultimately,
I guess quiet is the best way. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off on that. But
that's the thing, is that we know they're in a negotiation. Could end now, could end in February, could end in March when he's not a Bill or is a Bill, whatever,
right,
what have you. But he didn't show up for the voluntary stuff, which is fine. No issues. Josh Allen didn't show up for week 2 either because he got married. Certain people could say, well, you could have gotten married at
Bills
a
quarterback
point.
Controversy.
Right? Well, I personally want to hear from Josh Allen to hear if rich people still take honeymoons, but that's neither here nor there. For Cook, I think you are right that he handled this in maybe the best way. It also helps, though, because we've brought up the Bengals a lot. It's not like the Bills go about it in a bad way. They're not disingenuous in this either. With the Bengals, you look at it.
They went public about Trey Hendrickson couple times now.
And that's the thing. The Bengals, they start negotiation wars. It does appear the Bills are just in negotiations. I'd also say, too, you know who else is just in negotiations? Dallas. Dallas, you very rarely get bad blood. The difference there is, and where it frustrates everyone, is, Jerry, why are you waiting so long? Why are you waiting for other players to get big deals so the price gets bigger?
Hang on. Didn't this offseason Jerry slam one of the agents for Micah Parsons?
He slammed an agent, but he's fine with Parsons.
Yeah, but that's my thing, is that, like, and it kind of irked Parsons. I remember that.
Well, yeah, because Parsons was like, I'm not signing anything unless my agent's there, which legal representation or agent, that makes complete sense.
Of course it's going to happen. But yeah, so it does happen sometimes, like even with Dallas. But more times than not, oftentimes you'll see teams not really get into that sort of thing. And oftentimes it's, the player wants more, the team's playing hardball, they want to try to get the public favor for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All Cook has been doing is every now and then posting on social media, $15 million sounds great.
Yeah.
which is a very normal thing to say.
It is. And I do wonder, maybe specifically with this fan base too, having just come off the Stephon Diggs stuff. With Diggs, ultimately, I mean, like, it was at times very entertaining. Diggs tweeted like somebody that wasn't a superstar athlete, which was both entertaining, but also like, dude, please, like, for the love of God. And there was also that aspect of Diggs that, while I both very much appreciated it, it was somewhat stressful. He never would fully commit, right? Whenever he would sit in with Kay Adams or at Super Bowl week and he would be doing interviews, he could never fully commit to, I want to retire at Buffalo Bill. I love Buffalo unconditionally. Josh Allen is incredible at this. Day one, he's like, Buffalo, done, great. And it's been that way since. And Sal brought it up with us in the first hour. James is very gracious with the media, but let's not act like he talks a lot. He's not Matt Milano, where I'm not sure he speaks. But James Cook does not talk a lot. And so for many of us, there is sort of this, I don't want to say not understanding, but there is some questions of like, does he love living here? I mean, he's from Florida, went to school in Georgia. Maybe he doesn't really want to be here. Well, I mean, his brother Dalvin kind of fought for a big contract. Maybe like that's really what he's doing. Like, is he getting all his P's and Q's from Dalvin? Does he eventually want to leave? I mean, he's retweeting $15, $20 million. You ask questions because you're not getting everything. It was the same with Diggs. It was just more frustrating. And then it got really frustrating when ultimately a lot of it did kind of turn out to be right. He treated it as exactly as it is, a business. And to be fair, I do credit Stephon Diggs on that a lot because he treated it as a business exactly like how a team would. And he never lost that feeling on it. A quarterback, and especially a superstar quarterback, you can have a very different feel on the game. You are very different to the game. Allen did this back, I think, in 2019 during one of the Bills Embedded episodes where he's one of the few players that can just miraculously call up Brandon Beane or Sean McDermott and they'll answer. Where some of the other players joked that, like, they can't do that.
Right.
It's different for a quarterback. And I think Allen balances it wonderfully. I have no issues with it. But there is that difference. I agree with you. I really don't think Cook could have handled this any better, especially because it is an open negotiation. They are working towards something. But in the same vein, I think the Bills have also done a really good job with it.
As a matter of fact, the bigger annoyance throughout the offseason has been towards Dalvin Cook, not James Cook.
Right? It almost feels like everyone's looking at him going, like, wait a second, look what he did, though.
Yeah, and but also Dalvin being almost more vocal than his brother,
yeah,
in a sense, for this sort of thing is also kind of where it's again, those tea leaves, it was very easy to read. This is where I still didn't understand everyone being too nervous. And you bring up the Stephon Diggs thing, and I guess that's probably where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was never worried for a second about this. And especially because of Cook's personality, the fact that he does not try to go seeking out attention. Being in a hardball stance for a new contract is exactly the antithesis of what James Cook is in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do that, suddenly every single microphone's in front of you.
Yeah.
Hell, if he shows up today and Sal said, like, if he does speak today, every microphone's going to be in front of him.
Mm-hmm. I do hope he speaks. I don't anticipate he will, but I'd like to hear from him.
Yeah, but it's
especially because, again, like, the only things we've gotten from are retweets,
yeah,
and tweets, or as you mentioned,
or pictures.
Pictures or like some Instagram lives where he goes on and rips up some, you know, AFC East rivals. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
It is curious, though, like, watching these go on. It's also something, too, that being on a good team and a team that you can somewhat reasonably consider is well run.
I watched Jalen Ramsey in Miami or Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville or, for example, now, Yanu Smith with Miami or Terry McLaurin, you know, showing up and trying to get there in a measure of good faith and then not only not getting it done, leaving OTAs and now not at minicamp. Buffalo does still hold a large amount of the power, and that is the unfortunate part of it on a player for your first contract, is especially if you're not a first-round selection, that contract isn't the greatest.
Yep. This year alone, he is going to make all of the money he made the previous 3 years.
And that's the big deal. It's often backloaded on those rookie deals.
Yep.
You don't want to lose that money. Like you just said, it's more than combined the last three. or as much. Yeah, I'm not losing that money. You've kind of got me where I've got. Like, it just, I'm where I am. So there is not as much power. And I did say yesterday, if he's skipping minicamp, that's bad agent advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any agency wants to lead a player down that road.
Yeah.
Or should want to lead a player down that road. It's disingenuous at that point. So you're expressing your desire for a raise. It's not completely silent, but it's relatively tame compared to other situations.
Yeah.
And you take that for what it is. So, James Cook, keep being you, man. I like it.
His career earnings up to this point, $4.6 million. 2025 cash, $5.3 million.
And I do, again, so we are talking about millions of dollars. So that's something that obviously does not really resonate or is something that's relatable to us or the listening audience. It's not relatable. So obviously people will get angry about that because we are talking about millions of dollars. But James Cook's core argument here is, I'm doing well at my job. I would like a raise, please.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the please is part of the message.
Yeah.
It's not a demand necessarily more than a please. Because if he really wanted to be angry with the tone of it,
I mean, there were ways he could go about it.
He would not be here today.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank, period.
And a lot of people didn't think he'd be here anyways.
There were a lot of people that thought that too. And
weren't immediately thinking, oh, he's not going to be here training camp. He's not going to play. It was just more like this is one he could miss. He'll lose money, but they're in a negotiation. This is a negotiation tactic. He could absolutely miss.
Yeah.
And you do wonder, though, is this also maybe Cook blinking first? If you're looking at the negotiation of him going like, okay, hell, all right, I gotta go. I gotta go.
But if he's blinking first, yeah.
I'm not going to complain.
It's also probably what was going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Tea leaves. This one was an easy read. And I understand why people were nervous about it now, because we talked about all this a little bit at length. But it, again, is, there's a lot worse ways you can go about this.
There's a lot worse
ways. And I'm, like I just said, James Cook, keep being you.
Yeah, there's a lot worse ways on both sides. I think the Bengals,
Bengals show that perspective.
Might be the team to look at and go, okay, I really hope my team never operates like that.
Yeah.
Trey Hendrickson, who has only ever been, it seems, a good guy in the league, has to multiple times this offseason kind of burn the organization, including showing up to voluntary workouts for 20 minutes just to talk to the media about how bad this has been, about the lack of communication that has been there. And then to top that all off, one of his compatriots on the defense, who they just drafted in the first round, is having similar problems.
And
this, it's incredible.
But also, for Hendrickson, it has been a years-long problem.
Yes. He mentioned that on the Pat McAfee show, how it was like, hey, if you put the season up again, we're going to get back to the table. We'll get you a long-term deal. Literally puts up the exact same season. What is it, 17 and a half sacks the last 2 years both?
Yeah.
Does it, and they're like, well, we didn't think he'd actually do that.
Oh.
Like that's the
great
feeling.
We might actually have to pay.
Oh, we got to actually do this.
Really? We have to do this? We have to do the negotiation part of this? Ugh, the Bengals are a disaster. And
they are a wonder.
I don't get them at all.
Other news on another AFC team, the Houston Texans. There was a report last week CJ Stroud was still not throwing at OTAs. There was some concern there. Concern may be alleviated. He is throwing today at mandatory minicamp.
And there we go.
So potentially his injury may not be much. I also did want to look up, because we have been talking about James Cook. We've talked a little bit about his stats. His playoff run, though, this year for the Bills, we've mentioned a lot that if they win that AFC Championship game, we may not be having this conversation at all. He may already have an extension.
He might already have an extension, or the number might even be lower.
Yeah. But
in a different sense.
His postseason was impressive. First game against Denver, 23 carries, 120 yards, and a touchdown, good for 5.2 average. Actually had no catches, no targets even. Next game against Baltimore, 17 for 67, no touchdowns, but 3 targets, 3 catches, 15 yards. And then, of course, the Kansas City game, where I would argue he was their best offensive player, not named Josh Allen. 13 for 85, 2 touchdowns, good for 6.5 average, and 3 targets, 3 catches
for
49
yards. And if the
defense
holds the Chiefs, he has an iconic touchdown that gives him the lead.
The Bills, if they went to the Super Bowl this year, would have 2 iconic plays this year alone. just in against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I was going to say they were both against the Chiefs.
Just against the Chiefs, that would be played forever for Bills fans. It's the Allen run in the regular season, and then it would be the Cook. How the hell is he still up reaching for the pylon?
Mr. Yeah. Fantastic, stretching it as far as you can go.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a fun movie. I can't wait for that to come out, by the way.
But you got that Superman this summer?
Yeah. But still also this, like, it's an iconic play. If they win.
Yeah, now it's a play that we all remember.
It's a play that we remember, but a lot of people might not. Because it might blend in with the typical Chiefs fan trauma at that point.
Well, I constantly mention it too, like outside, like we all remember the 2021 AFC divisional game. We all remember 13 seconds. We have a nickname for it. How many other fan bases like really look at it as, oh, it's 13 seconds?
I think there's enough fan bases that do. It's nationally recognized. I think this one, because of the fact that there wasn't like this one moment of collapse.
Oh, and it was just, yeah.
It was the defense slowly bleeding through the entire evening. Where, okay, yeah. Like, it's not like we're going to call this the failed tush-push game or something.
Right, right.
Like, I'm forcing a nickname even out of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a play there. And it's...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very simple. If they win it, it's you finally broke through. That's what that game is called.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not the nickname of that game, but that's when this Bills team finally broke through. And that's obviously if it ever happens. That's when this group finally broke through. I remember this. And nationally, you could say that.
You could, yeah.
They finally got past the Chiefs. Thank goodness. I don't need to see the Chiefs again in the Super Bowl. That is what will be said. Please do it for the rest of the football fandom.
Yeah, I do wonder nationally if a lot of people are like, we just want one of the Bills or Ravens to just do it.
Yes.
just do it.
Yes, because do you remember the Super Bowl rating numbers where they spiked in the second quarter because Chiefs were getting beaten down?
That's right.
People that said, I'm not watching, actually held to their standards and then said, and then also went, wait, they're losing by what?
It's how bad?
It's how bad? Yes. So, again, to know that – it feels weird. To know that you have a team that is seen as, quote-unquote, the good guys.
For now.
For now. Ask Ravens fans. I guess it's a different story. But
– oh, my dream is the Bills to become the villain of the league. That is my dream.
But the thing is that you are currently the underdog, the plucky underdog.
You're Rocky.
Almost.
You're Rocky.
Ready? Almost the jobber.
Yeah, yeah.
Of a good show.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are Vegeta.
The Bills are Vegeta.
And half of you, more than half of you, don't even know what I meant by that. But everyone, every main villain in Dragon Ball has to beat Vegeta in order to be shown as a true threat.
That's right.
The Bills are Vegeta. It's annoying as hell.
You know, on the Bill, real quick on this point, because I mentioned it with Sal Marana yesterday. That I had watched the Netflix documentary on the Boston Red Sox, that 2003-2004 season. Specifically, it really is when they hire Theo Epstein and they start moving forward. Then. And, of course, you have the iconic coming back down from 3-0 and to win the ALCS. And then they go on and win the World Series. And that's almost an afterthought. You know, a part of me watched it because there is that connection that Bills Chiefs has to that. It's not historical in that sense, although they do have some historical rivalries with the older Chiefs and Bills teams in the 60s. But there is that feeling there that the Yankees just always seemed to get the Red Sox. Didn't matter how good the Red Sox were, it just always seemed to happen. And then it didn't. And eventually the Red Sox got over them in historic fashion. And in, if you ask any Yankees fan, an embarrassing fashion. But they got it and they go on to win the Super Bowl and if, or they win the World Series. And I'm watching that kind of thinking too is like, man, we might be getting to a point nationally, historically, that the Bills getting over the Chiefs alone in the playoffs might be documentary worthy. It might be that thing of like that will be remembered forever because they couldn't do it for so long. Mm-hmm. And it's argued by I think most people that if it weren't for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, Sean McDermott would already be considered a Hall of Fame coach.
Yes.
Because he'd probably have multiple Super Bowls. Then you add on everything they've already done. Plus, let's say, for argument's sake, two Super Bowls.
Right.
Allen, it's not even a question.
Oh, yeah. No, that he already has had to fight tooth and nail to get this MVP.
Yeah.
So that he can now be recognized with hardware of being one of these quarterbacks in this era. Because nationally, it's not seen that way before this. And mm-hmm. even then, there's still enough argument about a quote-unquote Mickey Mouse MVP.
Yep.
Which comes with the hilarious irony that what did we call 2 years ago?
Right. And so like I look at that and I'm like, yeah, we really are one piece being removed. I mean, how many times do we hear from it, from fans, calling McDermott a bad coach?
Right.
Where in reality, if you take away one piece, Andy Reid, let's just take away Andy Reid.
Ready?
No. Or Mahomes from the Chiefs.
I'll do you one better. Take away Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah, Spags is not the defensive coordinator.
Someone hires him as a head coach yep. somewhere.
We might be talking more
the
about...
The Chiefs are far less annoying mm-hmm. than they are.
Yeah, we might be talking about McDermott already, signed, sealed, delivered, first ballot Hall of Fame coach, Allen first ballot Hall of Fame coach, and our conversations are more along the lines of, has Allen passed Hasek as the best Buffalo player of all time? You know, where right. are they all-time Buffalo sports?
That's a fun off-season discussion.
But...
So I think we got to put a pin in this one for a couple months.
You're one piece away from like that being the conversation rather than are they ever going to get over them?
Yeah, let's save that one for like mid-July.
It's a curiosity. if no one's seen it, it's on Netflix. Just look at Boston Red Sox. I don't have the title because they've got a few of them because one, they followed them like last season or whatever. But it's really good. You hear from Kevin Millar. Theo Epstein's phenomenal in it because he still looks 15. Like when he like back in like the early 2000s, he was a young GM, but so cool to like hear those. And they had their own drama as well. Bills get rid of Stephon Diggs. They got rid of Nomar. I can never get his last name, so I'm just going to say Nomar.
Nomar Garciaparr?
Thank you. I cannot pronounce it. They get rid of Nomar, and that's a big thing. And there was drama there, but they end up going on their run. And it's as a Bills fan, and I hate saying this, I really empathized with Boston, and I felt that struggle of just always being number two to Kansas City. That was a big thing, too, them finishing in the AL East. Number two to the same team for, I think, 7 years. It was a record at the time. And I empathized with that so much. I've seen the documentary before, too, but it was when it first came out, and now they lost to the Chiefs again, and I felt that because it's the same thing. They could beat them in a regular season series. They've swept them before in regular season series. But when it got to the playoffs, it was just Jeter. I mean, hell, even the A-Rod stuff. When they're about to get him and Kevin Millar makes an idiotic comment on SportsCenter, which is a hysterical moment in the documentary where he actually hears what he actually said and realizes Nomar absolutely had the right to be upset at him.
Yep.
Where before he's like, "Why? Well, I don't know why I was upset. I was asked a question. I answered it." And then he's told like what it was. He's like, oh, he has every right to be pissed. Yeah, that makes total sense. But they even had, you know, that stuff where they get one up on him. They get A-Rod. A-Rod's different from Xavier Worthy. But for some Bills fans, it'll be, oh, my God. They got him. That was our guy. I empathize with it a lot. And it has made me think more and more of like, man, if the Bills do eventually beat the Chiefs, and we've argued too that they don't necessarily need to beat them for it to be worth it. Just get a Super Bowl, right? But if they were to beat them and go to the Super Bowl and win it, there might be for some nationally, the Super Bowl's an afterthought. Good for them. They won it. But they got them. And now they are.
They got them to get there, which – totally don't need that route anymore, by the way. I'm okay with those weird questions from national pundits.
Right, I'm cool. I don't care. But it is this fun thing. It also helped that Boston goes on from there to then win three more World Series.
We'll get Stephen A. But can they beat the Chiefs?
Can they get – well, I don't care. Just give me a bowl.
Doesn't matter if there's a ring involved.
803-0550, the number to call. Coming up at hopefully 11:45. We're hoping to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We'll carry as much of that as we can, but if you want to give your thoughts, James Cook in attendance today for mandatory minicamp. Would love to hear from it. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.